It was June 2000, and I was attending my first Iowa annual conference as the new district lay leader of the Muscatine District. I knew nothing about the conference, its people, or its workings. As I sat there in the plenary sessions, listening to parliamentary procedures and legislation I didn't understand or even agree with, I began to wonder, what have I gotten myself into? I had three sons in school, a full-time teaching job, and many volunteer commitments, including a major ministry to marriages and children through United Marriage Encounter with my husband, Bob. Was this something God was really calling me to do? What I did know was that I had a passion for three things: children, making disciples of Jesus, and a great belief in and love for the United Methodist Church. So I decided, like Abraham, I would leave home without knowing where God would call me to go. This afternoon, as I share my last lady address as your conference lay leader, I want to share a little of my journey of the last 8 years. But as I do that, I want you to put yourself into the story. What has God called you to do? Where is your journey taking you? What have you learned? The night before I was elected conference lay leader, I had a very vivid dream that confirmed to me that I was on the right path. God showed me that the way would not always be easy, that there would be times that this shy person would have to speak up boldly and persistently. Times as scary as jumping from an airplane to the tarmac. Times as rocky as the broken runway I landed on. It would not be easy, the easy way, but it would be God's way. Those who know me well know that I am a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so much so that I even named my little dog Frodo, because he would change the course of my future, if even in a small way. Often the movies we love the most are because of a character or a cause that we identify with. Frodo has accepted the task of destroying the one ring that controls all the evil in the world, but he is afraid. Take a look.
This task was appointed to you, and if you do not find a way, no one will.
Then I know what I must do. It's just, I'm afraid to do it.
Even the smallest person can change the course of the future.
Even the smallest person can change the course of the future. So what task is appointed to you? What is God calling you to that no one else can do in your time and place? From the beginning, I knew in my heart that the task of conference lay leader in the Iowa Conference for this time was appointed to me. Time and again, the scripture from Esther was given to me, and who knows, you may just have been chosen for such a time as this. So what exactly was the task God was calling me to? When I came into this annual conference, it seemed to be almost a hostile place. Mistrust for the conference and staff was rampant. People were divided into camps, and words were often not spoken in love. The name of Jesus was rarely heard during the conference sessions. I remember being corrected by a clergywoman to say God, not Jesus. The politics of divisive resolutions seemed to be destroying us. I remember vividly the year there were 122 resolutions to deal with, and 60 of them, mostly unrelated, were voted as a block at the end of conference because we were already a couple hours past scheduled adjournment. I remember at one of those early conferences stopping to talk to a friend and coworker, and how uncomfortable that person was to be associated with me in public because of our differences in theology. I remember that we were a lot about talking, but not doing during our time together. I soon learned that in spite of my position, I was often excluded from the table, even when my participation was mandatory in the discipline. Even when I cut my work schedule from full-time to part-time to be available to attend more meetings, they were scheduled on the days I had to work. To me, that seemed a pretty clear message. In 2006, I had my son Jimmy email me these words, same paper, from the second Lord of the Rings movie. I took them with me to that conference. Listen.
It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened?
Victory! We have victory!
But in the end, it's only a passing thing. This shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. That meant something. Even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
That there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. I had crossed out the word world and replaced it with church. That there's some good in this church, and it's worth fighting for. And in spite of the different difficult challenges of that particular conference, when I walked out of Hilton Coliseum that Sunday evening, the sun was shining, even after the torrential rains of that afternoon, both literally and figuratively. I had found my task, to fight for the good in the United Methodist Church, because it was worth fighting for. I was to be a bridge builder, even with people who didn't want to build them. I was to offer hope, an example of a better way of being together. I was to help people understand the balance between living out our faith, not just personal piety or social holiness, but both. I remember sharing with Bishop Palmer my hopes of bringing people together and his warning to me, you could end up with nobody liking you. What a caution that was to heed. But if we truly love God and his church, isn't that a risk worth taking? The thing I want and hope for is that I will not fail Christ in anything, that I will have the courage now and always to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth. This, my life verse from Philippians 1:19, New Century Version, has been my foundation as I served as conference lay leader. I know there are many times I have failed, and I ask forgiveness from anyone I may have hurt through my words or actions. and I want to thank God for the incredible blessings I have received along the way. In the past 8 years, I have traveled over 110,000 miles, over 54,000 by car, and almost 56,000 by air. I have attended more meetings and written and received more emails than I care to count. But through these contacts, I have made lifelong friends, not only in Iowa, but all over the world. And to my friends in the Indiana Conference who are watching now online, I especially thank you for always praying for me when I was the most in need. So many wonderful people have crossed my path that have encouraged, inspired, taught, and strengthened me. You have given me opportunities to preach in your churches and speak in your districts, sent notes of appreciation and encouragement, given gifts and words of affirmation, helped with tasks when I took on more than I could handle, thank you, Art, loved me, listened to me, and counseled me, and most importantly, prayed for me. Are we the church God wants us to be? No, I don't think so. But are we on the road to perfection? Yes, I think we are. I pray we can say that we no longer fear that our church will die, that we will not have enough money to continue, that our ministries to the poor and marginalized will not be effective, that people will continue to leave and new ones will not come, that we cannot be the church Jesus Christ calls us to be. I pray we can say that no longer do we hate those who don't think like us, those who are liberal or who are conservative, progressive or traditional, those who are clergy or who are laity. I pray we can say that we have recognized and admitted our own failings as a people of God, that we have acknowledged our animosity toward one another and changed it. We are a different Iowa Annual Conference than we were 8 years ago, and I think it's for the better. I would like to close with two thoughts for you to ponder and hopefully live by. First, no organization, no conference, no church is ever better than the integrity of its leaders. So be people of integrity. Secondly, when life is difficult, remember that things are not always as they seem.
This is the truth. If we turn things upside down, we can't expect goodness to win in the world. I would be lying to you if I said that the human race has a great future ahead, that altruism could replace egotism, that your lives could be filled with joy, that your children could be safe and healthy. Before anything, you must know, the human race does not deserve these things. And I am convinced of this because I know you. Corruption and hypocrisy are in your nature. Compassion breeds weakness when only the strong survive. And I refuse to believe, under any circumstance, that you can turn things around in the coming years. This world may be sinking to new depths, but there are even more revelations to come. The human race has only one destiny, and whether you like it or not, this is what is real. I am the Lord your God. And you should know that I believe exactly the opposite. I am the Lord your God. This is what is real. And whether you like it or not, the human race has only one destiny. There are even more revelations to come. This world may be sinking to new depths, but you can turn things around in the coming years. I refuse to believe, under any circumstances, that compassion breeds weakness when only the strong survive, and corruption and hypocrisy are in your nature. And I am convinced of this because I know you. The human race does not deserve these things. Before anything, you must know that your children could be safe and healthy, that your lives could be filled with joy, that altruism could replace egotism. The human race has a great future ahead. I would be lying to you if I said that we can't expect goodness to win in the world if we turn things upside down. This is the truth.
From Romans 12, but before people can trust in the Lord for help, they must believe in Him. And before they can believe in Him, they must hear about Him. And for them to hear about Him, someone must tell them. And before someone can go and tell them, they must be sent. So my friends, consider yourself sent. Go, make disciples, pray and fast for God's church. Pray and fast for the United Methodist Church, for the Iowa Annual Conference, and your local church. This task has been appointed to you.
Let's thank our lay leader, Norma Morrison, served faithfully. I've always got to something, aren't I?
Yes.
As associate conference lay leader, I need to tell you that I have been that for 3 years, and what a wonderful mentor. She has introduced me to her friends, not only in Iowa, but throughout the world. I have seen what she can do, I know what she can do, and believe me, her ship has not docked.
Probably not.
We have presented a card. I would like to give this to you. There are only two signatures on it, but it signifies all the people throughout the world that are for you, Norma. I will read this to you. Norma, for all your years, hours, and miles you have given to the United Methodist Church.
The United Methodist Church, thank you.
I put it in capitals too, so I wouldn't forget.
Methodist Church is a pet peeve.
We all thank you from the bottom of our hearts, your friend in Christ, Dave Decker. And it's also down here, it says, be encouraged. I wonder who signed that.
Gee, I wonder.
That is your card. Thank you. 4 years ago, I came to Iowa Annual Conference and I presented a gift to Bishop Trimble. It's a cross that I designed and made. And I don't know if you can zoom in on that or see what that is or not, if I put it up there. It's made out of stainless steel, and there is a cross exactly like that in the lawn of the Lutheran Center in Waverly. But my boss came to me and said, can you make one of those? I said, yeah, I can do that. So it is out of stainless steel, and if you can see the center of it, there is a hand reaching up and a hand reaching down. To me,
I'll take it.
To me, my hand was reaching up and she was offering me. And now, as she goes on in her life, that will be her reaching up to God as she always has in her life. Thank you, Norma, for your 8 years of service.
Thank you.
Let's give her some more love.